Okay, so here we go, Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. That's pretty good. The book of Nahum is about Nineveh getting what they deserved a long time ago, but God did give them grace and mercy. Now, what do we have here for us today? We have an example of a city, an Assyrian city, Gentile type of a heathen city. It was a capital, a great big, huge, successful city with huge walls and towers and the whole deal. Worldwide at that time, but not much of a world, but worldwidely influenced. And God said, I'm going to destroy you. And the preacher comes along, Jonah, and just tells him a quick little sermon. God's going to get you. They get right. The city gets right. And then a little bit later, we find out that Nineveh goes right back to the same old thing, and then they get clobbered by God. And this is the clobbering book. That's why we skipped Micah. We'll go right into the city. Nineveh gets clobbered here. Nahum's the preacher that comes along now. Now, if you're into dates, which some of us aren't anymore, Jonah was about 770 B.C. How long has America been around? 245 or something. I mean, it's not that many. And here these guys have been around for all these years. This is six and 700 years before Christ. That's a long time. We can't even handle 300. We're not even going to make it to 300 before America's totally destroyed. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, now, go to Zephaniah. So Jonah preaches to Nineveh to get right with God. Nahum comes and preaches to Nineveh, and they get clobbered by God. God's judgment comes, and they really get hit hard. Zephaniah is another one that talks about it. Zephaniah chapter 2. So he has some input here as well. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 13. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, which Nineveh was the capital of, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, and all the beasts of the nation, both the cormorant. Hey, birds! Kids, here are birds! Wow! We knew birds had some influence here, but these birds are going to... Well, they're going to have a meal, aren't they? And the flock shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nation, both the cormorant, I think I pronounced that, the cormorant, and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. The other day we were driving around, where were we at? We heard a metal arc. Where were we at? We made a turn. Okay. Where at in the way of Spokane? I can't remember this. Where? Oh, the rest. Oh, yes, the rest of us were birds sitting here. And a metal arc, just chirp. Metal arc, I still think. How's it go, Zach? A metal arc. Can't remember? Yeah, something like that. It's just a cheerful bird. And here these birds are, they're chirping away because they get to have a meal now. They're going to have this whole city is theirs. Wouldn't that be something? It's like going to a buffet. And it just bursts fly up and gets this whole city. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am. Isn't that amazing? I mean, who's God? I am. And it says right here, this city said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. See, there's pride. There's a really great way to say pride. When somebody says, I am, and there is none beside me. Kids, quite often, the most important person in their world is I am, and there's none beside me. And see, with Paul, we're supposed to grow up and not be that way. You get into the gospel-teaching crowd, and they think that they're walking Jesus' walk, and they're walking Jesus' example, and they really think they are, except for a few little confessions they have to make. They usually end up being pretty proud, pretty prideful people. And why wouldn't they? If they think that they're walking the walk that Jesus walked, and he said, I am that I am, or I am, wouldn't you think that they would kind of start thinking the same way? And yet, what does Paul warn in Romans chapter 11, I think it's verse 25, not to be so conceited. wasn't for the Jews falling, we wouldn't have what we have, et cetera, et cetera. So here's a city. I mean, that is quite a statement. I love the scriptures. I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. You ever done that? Ever seen that? Hey, shh. Have your parents do that to you? Don't even think about it. Don't even. You see your kids ready to just kind of say, this, wagging their hand. That's what's going on to these people. Nineveh, you got clobbered, kind of a thing. So Nineveh really takes it. Jonah, they should have stuck with Jonah, but they didn't. Now, let's. Here's what we call the digger upper people, the archaeologists. here's what some of the things they said. The people gloated that space failed for corpses of their enemies. I mean, there was so much death that they found there didn't have enough room for all the bodies. And that's quite a cemetery. Kind of big one. They made pyramids of human heads. They found that kind of stuff. Pillars were covered with flayed skins of their rivals. Life is, you know, we really have it okay, you know? I mean, I can't imagine being tied up and then, like we do bullheads, you know, catfish, kind of do a slice right here, then peel it off. I can't imagine that. Almost makes me feel bad for the catfish. Almost. Not quite. Here's one. So great was the destruction of the city of the most ferocious, sensual, diabolically atrocious race of men that ever lived, that Alexander the Great marched by and did not know that a great city was under his feet. It was that destroyed where this thing was located finally. Okay, verse, just go back to Nahum. Now remember, Micah's in between Jonah and Nahum, but we'll do Micah next week. Chapter 1, verse 3. There we have a phrase. The Lord is slow to anger. Thank you, Jonah. Because God was ready to do it then. Right? Remember, Jonah, that was close. I saw that glass. That was close. You be careful. If you got glasses of pop and Kool-Aid and grape juice and all that stuff, boy, oh boy, we're going to have the new white carpet here in a couple weeks. look at chapter 1 again. Look at verse 2. Let's read some more here. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, there's a difference there. I haven't thought much about it, but there's two different words, and so God has said a difference here. Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. It's kind of saying the same thing, but because it's said differently, there must be something there. And you can kind of think of that if you want on your own. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. I mean, they do not get off the hook. The same thing with us today. Our sins are paid for. The law is history type of thing. We still got things that we're doing. We're not going to get away with it. The Lord will not acquit the wicked. I mean, we don't, even today. That's what a judgment seat's all about. So we die with all these things that we've done. The works, because that's what they are, will come out in the judgment seat. So nobody gets off the hook. And the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. I've been reading the last couple nights about the Great Depression era. I was reading last night about these dust storms that were, it's like a snow blizzard. Just amazing. And then they were dying from the dust. They couldn't, the dust was going everywhere. It was in the houses. It was, I wish I could remember some of the descriptions they had. This guy was driving down the road in his little Model T, of course. And the dust storm came in there, and he drove into a drift of dust. And got stuck, and then he had to start walking. And it's just dust, just dirt in those days. And here we read here, the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. I like that. The earth is burned at his presence. What's this? This is his word. This is the word of God. And more often than not, people get what when you read it to them? Burned. which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. Who can stand before his indignation, in verse 6? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. And that's one of the things that happens to Nineveh, is a flood comes through there. Now look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. You were probably sitting down there just waiting and waiting and waiting. Where were you? Well, you being a Bible student, you've got tables now. You can either sit in the pew and take a nap, or you can sit up here at the table and take notes. There we go. Say hi to the pew guy. 3:1. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. Must have had gang cars in those days, those, what do you call those things? Hydraulics so the cars can jump up and down, all that stuff. They had, see, there's nothing new under the sun. It says in Ecclesiastes, they had those things back in those days. Chariots, they had little hydraulics in them, and they're just popping all over the place. And if we're talking about modern time, which we would be today, then the chariots we have are hopping all over. You got one of those, Jimmy? A hopping car? No, okay. Look at chapter, well, we did verse 8, okay. We did Zephaniah, okay. Let's go look here back to chapter 1 again. Just got some highlighted verses I'd like, because there's only three chapters in this thing, and it's just destruction. A couple good verses about God being good, but look at verse 9. Verse 9. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. An utter end is affliction shall not rise up the second time. See, when I read that, I think of parents that fly off the handle. You'll never, ever do this again. And you just whack on them, and whack on them, and just fly off the handle, and it happens so often, and yet your hope is that it will never happen again. How many have discovered what? It still happens again. It didn't matter how hard you work on it. Well, there's going to come a day where that affliction shall not rise up. It'll never happen again in this world. Look at verse 15. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows. For the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. There will be a day to where the world will not be influencing us. The sin that's in us will no longer be an issue. And it'll never happen again. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Here we go. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadways. They shall seem like torches, and they shall run like the lightnings. Just go to San Diego, getting stuck in a traffic jam somewhere. Of course, they're not running like lightning in those cities, but go on the highway here. What do you have? Chariots flying by just right here. There goes another stroke of lightning, right on by. What have you ever driven, Sam? How fast have you driven? You know the lightning department yet?
No, he's a good driver.
He's a good driver, okay. See? Sticking up for you. You didn't have to say anything. You didn't have to lie this morning. She did it for you. No, Sam wouldn't do that. Awesome. How many lightnings have you been? Well, see, that's good. It's never a lightning until you drive by, Marcy, when they drive by in a little four-wheeler, and then you hear the sound. You know they're going too fast. But that, I think that's the chariots shall rage in the streets, jostle one against another. I bet you they had chariot rage back in those days, because they're jostling one against another. They shall seem like torches. Okay, let's look at verse 6. The gates of the river shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. Because they've got their gates, they've got their dams. Look at verse 9. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, For there is none end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. You won't have to be a furniture salesman in the millennium. Is that exciting? Because it's already provided. You're going to be bored, aren't you? You're going to walk around in heaven, in millennium, whatever, in earth, that kind of a thing, New Jerusalem, and you're just going to say, hey, can I sell you another chair? It's a habit you have, you know? And they pay in gold. Anyway. Look at verse 10. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together. And much pain is in all the loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. This was a terrible time. Look at chapter 3. Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of, is that not today? I mean, our cities, our towns. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Watching the history of the World War II, this documentary, and far more vivid pictures than I've ever seen, movie pictures or video pictures or whatever. What I was watching was in Normandy Beach, and just all the bodies after this whole thing was over, all the thousands of bodies that were just there. And you're going through these different parts of Europe and stuff where they had all these, we lost 5,000 men one time in a 7-minute battle or something. I forget those things. And when they're done, you've got 7,000 bodies to deal with. Whoever wins has to deal with these bodies. That's just been a horrible time. And you know they don't smell good. They don't look good. It's not like anything pretty at all. They're bloated. And at Normandy Beach, how many guys got off how many of those troop carriers actually sank themselves with the guys inside the tank and their bodies floating in from the... It's a tough thing to watch, but our boys need to see what life is and war is. It's a tough thing. I wouldn't want the little girls to see it at all. I just wouldn't. But they need to realize that war is horrible. And if a man is involved in this kind of stuff, you'd be there for him, that kind of a deal. And we have spiritual wars today. So the ladies... Girls, you still grow up and you be a help to your husband who's going to fight a spiritual war. Hopefully. Hopefully there's at least 4, 5. Hope there's 5 out, 6. 6 out there. Yeah, 6 out there somewhere that are learning the same stuff or willing to hear this stuff. And you can find them and dig them out of the internet or something and be the kind of wife you need to be, because that's what needs to be. So this is tough times in Nahum's day. Look at verse 4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, and America is full of rich witchcraft today, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Paul dealt with that in Acts 16. And Revelation 18 talks about the whore of Babylon and all that is done to the world. Verse 5, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms of thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. That reminds me of the old pilgrim days, the stocks. Somebody did something wrong, you put them out in public in the village. You know, everybody know that you shouldn't be, embarrassment thing. In verse 7, and it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? I mean, they're not going to care. Art thou, let's see here, look at verse 13. Just trying to, I just read the whole thing, but try not to. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide upon thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Look at verse 15. There shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm, make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. a canker worm spoileth and flieth away. Look at verse 19. There is no healing of thy bruise. This is Nineveh. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? So they're up. They had a hard thing coming. Now, let's look at Matthew. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Now, that took place with Nineveh took place. I mean, it happened. We have something else that's coming up. We might as well we know about it, but let's read it anyway. We've got a few minutes here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now remember, there's no doubt that there's a rapture still coming. So this is not the signs before the rapture. This is the signs before his coming. Boy, don't the authors have this stuff mixed up or what? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Okay, so if we're looking for this tribulation, we're getting closer and closer to the tribulation, we're going to have more and more people what? Deceiving. And it says, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we know we're going to see flavors of the tribulation. We're going to start seeing that stuff more and more today. Let's just have worse into this thing. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, we're sure getting that going, aren't we? See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. I mean, it has to happen. It's just like getting old. It has to happen. So don't be troubled, right, Jimmy? I mean, yeah. We all said a birthday. Right back? Right? I mean, it's happened. Right, LD? It does happen, right? It does come. So not to be troubled, okay, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now remember all the things that Peter and John and Jude teach in the tribulation books, as Paul writes those things. But they're going to have to be this way. They're going to have to be against the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They're going to have to be doing right, walking the law, obeying all this stuff, maintain their faith, while all this has taken place. And then shall many be offended, in verse 10, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What's happening today? These things are happening. They haven't arrived, but we're growing towards these things. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. See, we don't have to do that. We don't have to endure to the end. We have to endure what, does Paul say? Endure hardness. It's going to get hard in our time before the rapture. But our salvation is not at stake. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Different gospel than Paul's gospel. This is gospel of the kingdom. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, to leave the computers behind. Oh, no email. Terrible. neither let him which is in the field return back to take clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Reading that in the Depression days, about babies that were born, and there was no moisture, there was no rain, there was the babies, and it was just, well, I tell you, it was, you folks have been through a lot. It's just amazing to read that stuff. But pray that ye enter your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because it will be back to the Sabbath day stuff. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we read the Old Testament, we read all the horrible things that took place in God's judgment, and the tribulation will be worse. Worse. You read through Jeremiah, you read through the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and you read about what this is to be eating their children and the whole thing. What are we having for dinner today, Mom? Because we don't have anything left. It's been months. Mom looks at the kid and goes, you. And it's going to happen. 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh to be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs. And remember, false Christs. In order to be a Christ in appearance, you've got to be teaching something of Christ. That's how I picture that thing. And false prophets. Boy, name a bunch. We got prophets already that have done their damage. Joseph, Mary Baker, I don't know, I get them all mixed up anymore. Mary Eddie Baker, and Ellen White, you know. People make people into prophets, too, even though they're not one. People will call Dr. Ruckman and ask him, what does he think, before they even make any decision. I've heard pastors do that a lot. It's like he's their prophet. Hiles, we've got a lot of prophets. They don't mean to be prophets, I don't think. They don't claim to be, but people make them into them. Anyway, 25, I think. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, which is why bodies were buried, I don't know if they still do that, facing the east in cemeteries, and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. More bird comments, kids, eagles. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. That's at the after the tribulation of those days. When that thing is all done, this is when those things take place. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then you go right to Revelation 19, and you get the details of that thing. It's going to be quite the time. Let's go to Revelation 4. Now, Revelation chapter 4, this is after the rapture. Still have no problem with that. So from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 19, you've got the tribulation in detail. Four different times. There's four different accounts of the tribulation. That's why you can't read from Revelation 4 to 19 and see the thing in this chronological thing. You've got to see it in sections. That's why that's not that easy to read. But who needs to see it in order? I mean, the whole thing is just a disaster. It's just horrible. And I just hate to see our kids get caught up in that. And I know you do too. Maybe your kids won't. Maybe your kids' kids, grandkids. And we find out as you get older and older, older and older, that your influence gets less and less as we get older and older. So what can you do for your kids? Well, they need to realize that, yes, Jesus Christ came and he loves them and he saves them and everything. No doubt all the stuff that Paul teaches. But our kids cannot miss what God will do, has done, will do, if they don't have Jesus Christ. You need to realize God's wrath is serious. And you read about these people that, I mean, they're teaching all over the country that that's not God. God is not that way. God is love and all this stuff. And no, God is love if you've got him as your God. He's wrath if you reject him. The judgment is just a terrible thing. His wrath is, kids, you think you've seen your parents mad and upset and out of control? God's in control when he gets this way. So parents, this is a chance, an opportunity for you to, you know, teach to your children, going through these minor prophets, guys. These guys are telling what God's going to do, and he does it as history. And then what's going to happen, you can tell them what's going to happen. And, wait a minute. Along comes this guy named Paul and tells everybody that God actually walked the walk so he could just take care of it himself. He doesn't ignore it. He paid for it. And so God's wrath, that we read about him in the Old Testament, and we read about his wrath in the New Testament in Revelation, he put that wrath on his son. It wasn't just a spanking. All of God's wrath is put on his son. And it's an irritation to me. Here's what they call Easter. And what they celebrate is not what the Bible says. It doesn't even say to celebrate Easter anyway. So I'm glad none of you have your new dresses and your new white hats and your bonnets. You know, and the house isn't full. I'll still take your Easter eggs. I mean, I'll still take your hard-boiled eggs. I don't mind that. Aren't you glad that we don't do sunrise services? Lewis and Sue will handle it, but that's about it. Lewis said, I don't mind the early stuff. It's that late stuff that gets me. So, we'll 6 o'clock or whatever the sun comes up, and you go out there by a river, lake somewhere, and freeze to death. Never was into that, and you're worshiping the sun anyway. Facing the east and all this kind of stuff. And to think that this whole thing is based on a bunny rabbit having eggs? Bunny rabbits don't have eggs. Not the bunny rabbits I know about. Now they're hanging eggs on trees, and the whole thing is just moshing up together. Isn't that a mess? And it's about something as marvelous as Christ's resurrection. So they teach it like the whole world receives Christ's resurrection. It's offered to them, but they don't have it. So anyway. We'll stop there.